You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner for this Saturday, September 3rd, after week two of the high school football season. Good morning, everyone. I'm Daniel Versteeg. Be chatting with Ken Vigdahl coming up in just a couple of minutes, talking about a Lamar's community win over Bishop Heelan last night by a final score of 28-0. So he'll join us first here in the hour, and then coming up later on this hour, we'll get Galen Catholic head football coach Jeremy Schindler on. The Jays playing their first football game as a ranked opponent in a decade, and they unfortunately had to play another ranked opponent in Hartley Melvin Sanborn. And the Hawks get the better of the Jays last night, 50-35. But boy, what a good job by Galen Catholic just to hang with a team like Hartley Melvin Sanborn. And they got an Iowa State caliber quarterback in Cooper Ebel. I think they got another Division I recruit on the line. One of them's going to Northern Iowa. I mean, it is an outstanding football program that Coach Eilers has up in Hartley, Melvin, and Sanborn. And so we'll talk with both coaches about their ball games last night. We first want to get you caught up on some of the scores, the pertinent scores around Plymouth County from last night. We'll go to the eight-player scene where top-ranked Remsen St. Mary's defeated River Valley big time, 60-6. Hawks scored 51 points in the first half. Kingsley Pearson with a 67-19 victory over Arweaven. If you thought 51.5 was good, how about 61 in the first half from the Panthers last night? In Class A, District 1, we had a great contest in Hinton. The Blackhawks beating the Royals 40-32 in overtime. We were able to thankfully get there for the end of the game. We were able to capture some highlights for you. You can find those on Twitter at KLEM Sports. Alta Aurelia then also beat Akron Westfield 14-0 in Class A District 1. We've got scores from all around Northwest Iowa. You can find those on our website, KLEM1410.com. Under the Sports tab, click on Sports Scores and Results. But once again, we got to chat it up with Ken Vigdahl coming up next, Jeremy Schindler later on. A reminder as well, if you listen to the Lamar's community game against Bishop Heelan and figure, man, I want to watch some of that back, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Of course, we allow that with all of our live streams. They're archived on our YouTube channel anyway. But we're going to have an interesting kind of way to replay this one. Of course, we couldn't broadcast it live due to restrictions from Bishop Heelan. But we'll be able to rebroadcast it for you. We'll have our pregame coverage starting at 11:30 this morning on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. Kickoff will be at noon, roughly speaking anyway, trying to time that out a little bit different than doing it live. Kickoff will be right around noon. You can watch the game in its entirety as if it was going on this afternoon. So we're giving you that opportunity. Check that out on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. But we can talk about the game now with Lamar's community head football coach Ken Vigdahl. He joins us after this break. You're listening to the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, financial advisor, certified financial planner practitioner, Ross Rulin, associate financial advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, associate financial advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
A complex system of bones, joints, ligaments, and tendons choreographs every movement throughout your day. Where you get care for your body matters. Turn to the experienced team at Foy Valley Healthcare, where technology, orthopedic care, and therapies meet to support your every move. From sports medicine to scopes and carpal tunnel surgery to complete knee, hip, or shoulder replacements, the orthopedic services at Foy Valley can help keep your complex system working for you. Foy Valley Healthcare, your community, your health, your life.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to this edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's brought to you every Saturday morning by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Joining us now, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, that's Coach Ken Vigdahl. 28-0, dominant winners over Bishop Helin last night. Well, dominant as the game went along, let's just put it that way. A little slow first and second quarter offensively anyway, Coach. But, man, I guess when all's said and done, a win's a win. You got to be pretty proud of the effort your team put through last night in that regard.
Yeah, that's right. We went out and scored 28 and gave up zero last year. You know, we scored 17. So, you know, you look at it as we got to get better all the time from a year ago. And we were able to put some more points on the board. And, yeah, like you said, in the first half, we were able to get a quick score there. And then it kind of settled into a ball game. And we just made too many mental mistakes. We had lots of penalties. We had over 100 yards of penalties. And, you know, a few of those in the first half were kind of drive killers. So, you know, we just got to not, you know, get those penalties to put us back after we get a first down into third and long or whatever. So, you know, those are all things that you have to learn throughout the season. And, you know, it's game two, but, you know, it's time for us to start saying, okay, we can't be able to do those things.
Yeah, that was the thing I was really kind of not looking forward to asking you about. Yeah, 150 some yards of penalties. It was face masks, some false starts, all kinds of things like that. I mean, I guess the nice thing for you is, they're very fixable mistakes, and they're things you can tell your guys that or make adjustments with your guys to say, hey, we got to do this differently.
Yeah, you know, like with the face mask, you just got to learn to run through and not run to the guy. And, you know, we were reaching and things like that to, you know, and putting our, you know, hands on their face mask. And, you know, sometimes it's a face mask. Sometimes, you know, you can put your hand on the face mask and not have a penalty called, and it's just like you said, it's the holding, but you know, the thing I'll give our kids credit for, we did those things, we know those, you know, we got to correct them, but we were still able to come out with a win. We still had over 377 yards offense, and you know, we scored 28 points. So, you know, there's no doubt we have to fix those, but you know, there's no doubt we played hard and we were able to get our offense going last night. And, you know, we have to be proud of what we did.
Yeah, and I was going to say right out of the get-go, too. I mean, man, you get that first drive, you get a couple of first downs, and you guys were churning right away, and then all of a sudden, man, the home run ball was there with Tegan Tisione. Just talk about what that first drive kind of showed you, especially considering how tough it was for your offense to get started last week.
Well, there, you know, we pressed all week. We got to start fast. We can't just, you know, come into the game and, you know, wait till the second quarter. And so, you know, we knew that they were going to run a cover two. We knew that, you know, Sione, we put him in a different spot early in the game. And, you know, we kind of put him into a wing spot. And then we ran, you know, two flags, or we call it smash routes, to the outside. And then that opened up the middle. So that was just, I think for us, that was a big confidence booster. But I also think for them, it was kind of deflating more so than a confidence booster for us. You know what I mean? Because it was like, I think they, you know, and no doubt every team wants to go out and win and stuff, but I think they thought they kind of had our number. They knew what we wanted to do and stuff. And then all of a sudden we have a guy coming running down the middle open. And, you know, I've coached a lot of quarterbacks over the years, and, you know, like I said to Tegan when he came off the field, I said, congratulations, you just threw the hardest football and pass in America to a wide-open guy. That you, everybody thinks that's simple. Mm-hmm. And as a quarterback, you sit back there and you look and go, he is wide open. Don't underthrow it. Don't overthrow it. Don't throw it to a far side. Don't throw it to his left side. So, you know, I don't think people understand that the wide-open guy isn't always the easiest guy to throw to.
Well, yeah, because especially, yeah, you get that thought in your mind, and you're like, oh no, don't mess it up, don't, and then you try and get cute with it, and anything can happen when you try to get cute with it.
Yep, exactly. So it's kind of just like I said, you know, I've coached a lot of quarterbacks, but it's like, don't throw it too far, don't underthrow it, you know. And I mean, it's great that he threw it right on the dime, and Sione went and got it, and, you know, he was behind the defense, so it was, it was a good to score on that one, get him some confidence, you know, early on and stuff for everybody. And like I said, it gave us confidence, but I think it was more depleting to them.
100%, yeah, because you look at the next few drives for them, and I mean, I guess this was the kind of the story of the night for them. I mean, they just punted the football all over the place. You did a little bit of that as well in the first half, of course, and you talked about them thinking they had your number. I guess in a way they did a bit with the running game. I mean, it was tough for Elijah to really get the yards you kind of expect out of him, but you know, you had guys step up. What was kind of the tricky part of your ability to get the game going on the ground last night?
Well, I think when you look at us, you know, last year we had a couple guys that could carry the ball and do a lot of different things with it. But this year, you know, we got four or five guys. And, you know, if you look at how many touchdowns we have on the season, and, you know, nobody has more than one or two because, you know, Nolan has one and Elijah has one and Connor has one. And Bo has one or two, and it's just all of those things. We, you know, we're able to spread the ball out a whole lot more. And, you know, we went to throwing a lot of key routes last night, forced the linebackers out. I thought Tegan did a great job, you know, starting in the second half where, you know, we had a two-set backfield and, you know, we run our inside zone, but then we have our zone read with an option pitch, and Connor was able to get down the sideline. But, you know, when you run a three front, and it's complicated because they're always moving. You know what I mean? It's they're not like a four front where, you know, they're going to take a gap. That, you know, in a three front, they like to slant. They have to blitz people. So, you know, our offensive line had to have their eyes up and be able to pick up the blitzing linebacker and stuff like that. But, you know, for us, we were just able to do enough to keep the ball moving offensively with our passing and our run game, which was kind of ironic because I looked at the stats. It was like 174 rushing, 175 passing. So, yeah. You know, 50-50, when everybody says they want to be 50-50, I don't think I've ever been that 50-50 in my career.
No, and I don't think you could ever be that 50-50 again. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. And you talk about going up against that three fronts, and yeah, man, I mean, it was tough for anybody to move the ball there for a little bit. You see them, you know, run different schemes against you and or run different blitz packages, things like that you talk about. And then, you know, how tough is it for your offensive line to then have to read that, have to be mobile enough to pick up the blitz and then still try and make a strong block on somebody so that you can pick up yards.
And what we talk about is you have to stay on your track. It's like a railroad track for our offensive line. Your first step tells you where you're going, and then you have to stay on that track. And if a guy disappears in front of you or to go behind you and loops or whatever, you know, you have to stay on that track because more than likely somebody's coming back around. It could be a backer, it could be a defensive end or whatever. So, you know, up front we talk about, you know, everything starts with the first step. If it's a down step to the inside at a 45-degree angle, you know, he has to stay on that track because even if the guy in front of him disappears and does, like I said, a looping, a backer's coming in that hole because no matter what you want to talk about defenses, they're all gap controls. Everybody's got a gap. You know what I mean? Where you get big plays is where two guys go in the same gap and nobody covers one, and Elijah's able to pick that, find that hole, and, you know, go vertical. So, you know, the thing I think this year, we're spreading the ball around a lot more, and what happens is, as time goes on, hopefully Elijah will get bigger runs because everybody's not focused on him. But, you know, when you look at us and you're a defensive coordinator, who do you have to stop? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the guy who's a three-year starter. It's the guy who had over 800-900 yards a year ago. So, you know, the good thing is we have different people, different weapons that we can use to get outside and to, you know, throw the ball, catch the ball, run our RPOs, run our inside zone read now, which went really well in the second half. So, you know, it's just one of those things that's go from week one to week two. We're getting more identity all the time of how we're going to run.
We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's football. Yeah, I do want to talk about the second half and your great start, but I got to ask one more thing about the first half. I mean, when you're punting so many times and you're just kind of feels like a soccer match. You're just kicking the ball back and forth to each other a little bit. Do offenses get in a rut, it feels like? And then as a coach, is it tough to get them, say, out of that rut and back into the things that you know can work out there?
Well, the thing that kind of was our rudder, whatever you want to call it, was really our penalties. You know, we would have a first down and we'd have a penalty and it'd bring it back. And, you know, they're fighting through that and they're, you know, they know as well as I know that, you know, we want to move the ball. We want to be physical up front. And then when that doesn't happen, you know, I'm not saying nobody really went into panic mode last night, but it's one of those things that it's like, it seems like we're doing all that we can, but then we just kind of shoot ourselves in the foot and then we're back to where we were. And so, you know, like I said, you got to get the game through it. You got to have some big plays that happens. You know, we dropped a couple of footballs last night. If we would have caught those, it would have been maybe not a different story, but it's like, okay, we keep that drive alive, you know? So it happens. And sometimes as a play caller, you get in a rut too, because, you know, you're up 7-0 and you don't want to do anything that's going to cause them to tie the game 7-7.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, I mean, when you're playing with a one score lead for that long, yeah, it can get a little hairy there for a bit, but thankfully you guys got that touchdown to end the second quarter. A great run by Bo Wadley. And obviously you guys were going to receive the second half kickoff. You knew that going into that drive. So did you know right away that was going to kind of set maybe the tone for you guys when you came back out of the locker room at halftime after you scored to end the second quarter?
Well, I think with that score in the second quarter, what we kind of did was we really just simplified and we went to our 2x2 inside zone RPO, and then we just kind of accelerated the speed on that. You know what I mean? Because lots of times, like you were just talking about, how do you get an offense out of the rut? It's run a simple formation, simple play, get it going, go fast, you know, and we knew that some of their defensive linemen were two-way starters. So here you are in the, you know, second quarter, and there's no doubt that it was a little hot last night. So, yeah. You know, what we thought was, okay, we're going to put the pedal down. We're going to go fast. We're going to go as fast as we can go, force them to stop us and force those guys to play hard. And, you know, what ended up happening was exactly that. We were able to get everybody going, you know, and sometimes that breeds a little more excitement than, you know, taking, you know, the full 40 seconds or whatever, 25 seconds, whatever you want to say, you know, to call a play. So that kind of set the tone. We knew at halftime we wanted to come out and even be more physical than what we were in the first half. And then, you know, the first play where we go down and, you know, Teagan pitches it to Connor, it goes down the sideline for, I don't even know what it was, 40, 50 yards.
Yep.
And that just kind of went boom, there we go. And then the light bulb goes off. Everybody's excited. Everybody knows that we can get it done. We get our confidence, you know, and I think we never lacked in confidence last night as far as, you know, we were ahead and we were ahead 14-0, but it's like, okay, here we go. We got to learn to finish what we start.
Well, absolutely. And you finished it well in that third quarter with, like you said, the touchdown that was set up by that, you know, 50-yard run by Connor Jalis off the option play. And then that second drive, you guys were able to get into the end zone anyway. You guys marched down the field 85 yards, and you had a big play in there, but it was really kind of a good, you know, chunk drive. You just get big plays every now and then. Tell me about those two drives and what worked and you know, why you guys were able to be so successful in the third quarter last night.
Well, I think we've always had the zone read, you know, but we've always had zone option too. And so we really never ran that a lot a week ago, but we had it. And so when we came out and did what we did last night in the first, we kind of did it more, or in the third period, I guess, or the third quarter, I should say, you know, we kind of went to that option. We went, ran it. And then when we get a big play, sometimes we'll just run it again. And so he ran it again. And then it just ended up, we ran our keys to the outside, and, you know, Teagan loved throwing it to the boundary, and we just stayed on that left hash, and our coaches are like, you know, are you going to go to the wide side of the field? And I'm like, I don't know if he's going to go to the wide side of the field, because it looks to me like what he's doing is working, so let's just keep going there. And you know, we were able to get a couple of passes. We were able to get a key one route out there. And so, you know, we just kind of stayed on that left hash, and it just seemed like we also went unbalanced, which, you know, most people don't know, we went unbalanced probably 2-3 times in that drive and was able to run into the boundary again. And it just seemed like the left side was working well. And so we just stayed with it and scored. And then, you know, I'm with you. I like the fact that we can go 85 yards and get a touchdown. Yeah. The fact that we use 5, 6, 7 minutes off of the clock, mm-hmm. you know, have a 10 to 15 play drive, you know, because no matter what happens, you know, and I love our defense to death, but I know if our offense is out there, you know, chances of the other team scoring is not very great. So, you know, keep the defense off the field like we wanted to. You know, they played way too much last week and did a great job. But, you know, as an offensive guy, and we want to be able to give our defense a rest, so when they get out there, they can do what they did again last night, is, you know, 3 and out, you know, 4 or 5 plays and out, you know, never be able to give up the big drive of, you know, 40, 50 yards and have them score.
We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Yeah, I mean, the defense deserves a huge shout-out again tonight. And I said this on the broadcast last night, Coach. I think if you take away a couple of fluky plays from last week, you guys would probably have not allowed any points through your first two contests. I mean, what is it that your defense is doing right and is just being a huge menace out there to opposing offenses so far?
What we talked about it last week is our front six, you know, you take our front six, they're pretty solid guys. And, you know, you got Elijah at middle linebacker and Evan, and then our four down linemen, you know, we talked about Carson and Alex on the outside being able to rush the quarterback. You know, last night, they ran a little bit of dive option. I think they started the game with that. He got a couple yards, but after that, you know, we got two fast guys on the outside. So quarterbacks really can't boot out and get out. And then we have, you know, we have Carter, Jenis, and Mitchell Bartman as our two, you know, D tackles that do a good job of consuming blocks. Because, you know, one thing about being a defensive lineman, it's pretty unsung heroism, because, you know, you may consume two blocks, where then you're going to let the linebackers run free and do their jobs. You know what I mean? We can't allow them to, offensive linemen, to get on our backers. So those guys get double teamed a lot, but coach slants a lot, moves them around a lot. So, you know, just like what people want to do to us, we're kind of doing that with our defensive friends. And then, you know, our secondary, you know, they're quick, they're fast, they're tall. You know what I mean? We've got some big kids back there that are experienced. And so, you know, you look at our secondary, a lot of those guys are 2-year players that, you know, maybe they didn't start last year, but they got playing time. So that just all around, they have a good package, which, you know, allows them to do what they do. And, you know, there's no doubt both offense and defense will be tested this week with East. They're going to throw the ball all over. They would rather throw the ball than run the ball. And so, you know, they're going to have a big week.
I know we're up against it with you, but I got to ask as well. We were digging through our rosters last night trying to make sure everybody got called out there. When you can empty the bench and when you can get so many guys varsity playing time that early as well into the fourth quarter, how good of a feeling is that on the sideline for everybody?
Well, I just think it's great. I mean, you know, everybody comes, and there's games where kids get to play 2 or 3 plays, and then, like last night, they were able to play more and stuff, and that's our deal. And, you know, we try hard to get everybody in, and, you know, we're calling out, if you haven't played, you know, come stand beside coach. If, you know, we went our, you know, no doubt our first group of offense, our second group of offense, and then we went our sophomore group of offense at the end and stuff. And, you know, both of those other groups were able to pull the ball a little bit and run some inside zone, even though we may not have gotten a lot of first downs. But it's just, you know, it's a team, and when you have a chance to play the younger kids, you have to take that and you know, let them play too, and that's awesome to get some varsity experience, Friday night experience. So then, like, next year when they're older, they're ready to go.
Well, absolutely, and you guys were ready to go last night. I know you'll be ready to go this week with East High, and we'll look forward to that contest, Coach. Of course, penalties, I think, are prime number one for you guys. We appreciate your time as always, and best of luck to you guys coming up this week. We'll be chatting throughout the week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. Ken Vigdahl joining us here on the Coach's Corner. We're back with Jeremy Schindler talking about Galen Catholic football after this break here on KLEM.
At Nohava Construction, we build the world's best roofs, and we stand behind them. We've been recognized as an elite roofing specialist year after year. At Nohava Construction, we have a high accuracy rating. We use the world's finest roofing technology for our commercial projects. Whether it's new construction or roof replacement, we work hard for our customers. You're the reason we installed the best commercial roofs around. Nohava Construction, your elite roofing specialist.
Nohava Construction Lamar's has roofing covered and then some.
Do you need shirts for an event? Get Branded 360 offers competitive pricing and awesome customer service. Get Branded's graphic artist can take your ideas and create a design for you. Get Branded 360 carries a variety of blank clothing. Get a tank top for the hot weather, a sweatshirt for cool nights, and t-shirt for any time at Get Branded 360.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We're back here on the KLEM Coach's Corner, brought to you every Saturday morning by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial, with Mike and Ross Rulin. Daniel Versteg with you. We are now joined by the head football coach, Galen Catholic. That's Coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays came into the week ranked in the top 10, matching up with the defending district champs in Hartley, Melvin, Sanborn. Come away with a 50-35 loss. Jays now 1-1 on the season. Coach, man, I knew this was going to be tough, and with how last year played out and such a back-and-forth kind of contest, another shootout for you guys. Just kind of what did you see throughout the game last night from your guys?
Yeah, I mean they were tough to stop when we were on defense, and you know, they're a big, strong, physical team, and they know what they do really well, and that's run the football. And you know, for people up in the stands, this probably drives them crazy. You can't stop some, you know, these run plays, but I mean, they were really good at the point of attack with their offensive line, and those two runners they got back there, Camrant and Ebel, two very big, physical, strong, quality runners. So, you know, defensively, I thought, you know, we had some moments where we played well, but that what they force you to do is you got to stop it three, maybe four times in a row from them getting 10 yards, and that's a big thing. They're such a hard team to call penalties on, and they don't hurt themselves with turnovers a bunch, even though we did get one. So they really just – they're never behind the sticks, and it's really – they got three minimum, sometimes depending upon the field position. They got four downs to get 10 yards. And with those two horses carrying the ball and the big guys up front blocking for them, it's tough to stop. But, you know, there's definitely some things we can do better defensively, and we'll go to work on that this week.
Oh yeah, and obviously I couldn't obviously watch the game in this time, but yeah, you sent me the scoring you know, breakdown, and yeah, they break in, you know, 30-yard runs and 70-yard runs and all these kind of things, and I, just remembering them from last year, I mean, these are, like you said, very athletic guys. They're in your face kind of runners. I mean, was it kind of the, you know, tough thing being when you talk about open field tackles? You've talked about that the last couple of weeks. Was that kind of a factor here in last night's ball game for you guys?
It's not so much out in the open field. It was in the box, and we just weren't, you know, when we got hats to the football, we were making plays, and we were able to, you know, stall them a little bit. and then they just crack one on you. And they did that about 5 or 6 times. You know, other than that, you know, we were holding them to 2, 3, 4, or 5 yard gains, and then they started to wear on us. And you know, it's an offense. It's kind of like the old wing T, where you're trying to get 3, 4 yards a pop, and that's it. And 3 times 4 is 12. So if you average 3 yards a carry for 4 straight downs, you're getting a first down. And as long as you don't hurt yourself, and they with penalties, they didn't hurt themselves. And like I said, they only had the one turnover. So yeah, I mean, when we got guys to football, I think part of the problem was our outside linebackers. You know, we had talked all week about being aggressive and trying to. We actually wanted them to bounce the ball outside and run, because if you can get those two guys running laterally, it gives us a better shot to go low and make plays. And I don't think we were being quite aggressive enough in the first half. Coach Ellenzo made a great adjustment and just started calling for some pinches by our outside linebackers. And that seemed to work for a little bit. But, you know, we just got worn down a little bit there defensively towards the end of the game.
Jeremy Schindler's with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football, talking about the Jays' matchup with Hartley Melvin Sanborn last night. You know, just for, I guess now, you know, looking a little bit at your offense, I mean, you guys were able to run the football at will last week against Unity Christian. That wasn't really there. I don't think you really expected it to be there, because you passed so well last year against them, and you passed pretty well again this year against them. Just talk about what kind of things you saw offensively, and what kind of things you guys were doing, at least through the air anyway, to give yourselves a lot of success that way.
You know, I actually thought we ran the ball okay. If you take away the one QB sack, which was a big 15-yard loss, we ran the ball for 70 yards on them. And you look at last week's stats, Wes Sue, who's number one ranked team in 1A, right, they only ran the ball for 90 yards on them. A lot of it is our outside screen game to our wide receivers was working really well. And yes, those are pass plays technically, sure, but they're really just an extension of the run game. And that was the area that they were weak in. They were keeping a 6-man box against our spread. So it was a heavy box against the spread, but they were really giving up the flats, and we took the flats all game. You know, the unfortunate thing, we traded touchdowns for the first drive, and then they scored on their second drive. And unfortunately on our second drive, we get all the way inside the 2 yard line, and on a fourth and, you know, a foot, we're not able to make it. Mm. And, you know, it's kind of one of those where it's a mass pile of humanity, and well, did we get it or not? And it's kind of a guessing game for the officials. I mean, yeah, that's a really tough job to spot that ball. I thought we got 6 inches. I thought we got a foot, but we didn't. You know, so you give that up. We got a score there. You know, and then the game's tied. You know, and then offensively, we were able to come back and at least get it to within 8 at halftime, because we felt pretty good because we got the ball coming out at half. Right. Now, the disappointing thing for us offensively was our first 3 drives of the second half were not quality drives. I think Connor threw about 5 bad passes in the game, and they all happened to be on those first 3 drives. He just missed a couple guys that in the first half he was hitting, and it was just a simple – it was kind of like he's throwing out to the flats, and he was throwing off his, you know, back foot instead of stepping through and driving through the throw, and his front shoulder was staying up, so he kept sailing it high a little bit. Hmm. You know, and when we talked about it, we fixed it, we corrected it, and you know, as the game kept going on, he started to make those passes again. But we just came out, those first 3 drives of the second half where I thought what really, really did us in offensively. We just, you know, our first drive stalled, and then we go 2-3 and outs in a row. And when you do that against a team like Hartley, you know, they're gonna make you pay.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those kind of contests that you need to play. And as you've kind of been talking about this entire interview, some pretty perfect football, if not perfect, pretty darn close to perfect. But I guess how nice was it to kind of see your guys be competitive with a team that made the quarterfinals of the state playoffs, won the district, you know, did all these things last year, and you guys were able to hang with them even after those couple of drives to start the second half. You still kind of played touchdown for touchdown with them the rest of the way. How good was that to see from your perspective?
Yeah, and that's positive, and that's kind of what we talked about, you know, after the game. And you know, they're the type of team, as the season goes on, they're not going to really change anything. You know, they're really, really good at what they do. But outside of that, they're not going to get better at a whole lot of other things. Whereas I think we can get a lot better and continue to add and build offensively and defensively. And I told the guys, I said, you know, this might not be the last time we see them. You know, I'm going to give you a little plug here. You're calling the Morningside Northwestern game later tonight.
Yep.
I talked with Northwestern's coach, and I'm sure Coach Ryan would agree with this statement as well. You know, you play a team, a really good team like that early in the season, mm-hmm. you got the whole season to fix what you weren't very good at. And that's what we're going to take the approach as, hey, we know what we need to do to be better, to beat teams like this. And I think that's going to be a key in these coming weeks, is we really got to improve in a few areas. And if we can do that and get this thing rolling, then I wouldn't want to play us at the end of the season.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's you guys at that point will have, you know, 2 to 3 years of these guys playing. They're going to have so many things that they've worked on and fixed. And yeah, I honestly, the way you guys, you know, look this year, the way you guys, you know, kind of seem where you're at as far as the state seeding's concerned, I would consider seeing you guys again against Hartley, Melvin, Sanborn. And when you take that perspective, Coach, of you know, you want to get so deep into the postseason and you want to see another quality opponent like that, it's going to really be a huge driver for you guys. Obviously, you're not playing the entire season just to see HMS again, but you're playing the rest of the season to get better because you know you guys can potentially get that far in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing, you know, again, the overarching message after the game is, you know, yes, we do need to get better. But you did play offensively. We played with them. Defensively, we know what we need to fix. And Coach Ellenzone is the best in the business, and we're going to figure it out. And you know, one of the key things is we didn't have Brandon Gengler last night. You know, he tried to go with his ankle, just didn't feel comfortable on it pregame. And so we decided, you know, it's week two. We're going to hold him out. And, you know, we got a couple of young guys in there who really, really got some great game time experience. Jake Vogan, a sophomore, and Dylan Pacus came in towards the end of the game and played some key defensive snaps for us. So I was really impressed with those two guys. And what that's going to do is later on in the year, those reps are going to just become more and more valuable for those players, and it's going to make us a deeper and better team. And they're going to give us better looks on scout team, and then they're going to be able to give us reps on defense, and they might even, you know, move into starting roles. And I just think that that was huge for us defensively to get those young guys. I mean, those are two sophomores who are getting their first real taste of varsity football, and they're going up against an HMS. And the big thing you wonder is, all right, are they going to be scared? And I can tell you, those two kids weren't scared. And they went out there and played pretty good. And they're two ornery little kids, which is, in the football terms, that's really good. And so, you know, that's going to make us better. That depth that we're going to continue to develop as this year goes on is only going to make us stronger as a team.
Jeremy Schindler's joining us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. And I'll give you a plug for something you probably talked to the kids about on a regular basis. I mean, you probably picked Jake and Dylan out to you know, kind of do the job of replacing Brandon out there in the starting unit because of what you saw out of them in practice and because of the things they were able to do for you on scout team. It shows that, you know, what you've probably said and what you've heard coaches say all your life, the coaches see everything. They know how you're working on just simple things in practice, and it really pays off when it comes to a point like this in a game where you need somebody to step up, and they'll end up calling your name.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
scout team. And then another big thing is the JV games. And that's, you know, I get to sit back and just watch those games. And, you know, those two guys made a difference in the JV game on Monday. And so it was like, well, coach, we can count. We can use these two guys. They're good football players. And so that was something really easy that they really were kind of the really physical kids out there on the JV football field. And that's what you want to see. If you want to play varsity and you're playing JV, you have to dominate the JV games in order to, you know, be able to hang with the varsity kids. Because it's a big step up, especially at our level, our class, you know, because you get a lot of teams with – there's only 35, 40 kids on a team. You know, we got a couple sophomores that start varsity regularly for us. You got to play your best 11. And so for us, there's a couple sophomores up there. Now, if we had all of our freshmen and sophomores play JV, well, yeah, our JV probably would be better. But that's you don't win trophies for JV games. But what the JV guys can do is they can stand out on the JV football field. And we see that and we notice that. And those two guys did a really good job of that on Monday. And then they came in. They weren't intimidated. They weren't scared. Came in and they played some pretty good defensive football for us.
Coach, when you were talking about the offense, and you told me about this, you know, middle of the week last week about you know, the matchup with Hartley Melvin Sanborn, the short screen passes going out into the flats and having to throw the ball out there quickly. What was it about Hartley Melvin Sanborn's defense that allowed that to be open and kind of almost play into your hands in a way with the amount of you know, weapons you have offensively that you can get the ball to out there?
Yeah, I mean, their best defensive players all play straight up the middle. You know, they have the two defensive ends who are, you know, Division I type football players. They have a middle linebacker who, in my opinion, is maybe one of the best defensive linebackers in our class of football, the Camrat kid. He's really good. And then you got Ebel, who plays their free safety. So their strength is all up the middle. And then from a schematic standpoint, you know, their corners and their outside linebackers play so far off the ball. Their corners started about 7-8 yards, and they pedal right off the snap. They are terrified of giving up the deep ball, which is a complete change from what they did last year. Last year, they were a 3-5. They were up in your face, and the corners were right in front of our receivers. They were playing man press coverage, and the deep ball was what we went to last year because we said, well, you're not going to be able to cover guys like Keaton Bonderson and Ryan Livermore. You're not going to be able to cover them one-on-one, and it worked for us this year or last year. This year, it was, all right, you're going to play soft. We're going to throw it to the flats. And we're going to take the 6-7 yards because it's just an extension of our run game. We're going to catch it. We're going to get the ball out to our playmakers' hands, guys like Keaton Logan, Ryan Augustine, Landon Ryder, and Keaton Bonderson. We're going to say, you're going to have trouble stopping them over and over. And if it isn't for a couple of drives where we just shoot ourselves in the foot and don't really execute like we're capable of, you know, we're right there in the game.
And getting the ball to your weapons, you talk about so many of them, and a Keaton Logan as well. We unfortunately didn't get to see him touch the football a whole lot last week. He was still a vital part of your offense, just not able to get the ball a whole lot. Got the ball a few times for you last night. I guess what did you see out of him again? Considering he hasn't played organized football in nearly 4 years for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys, you know, both Keatons, you know, Ryan Augustine and then Landon Ryder, I thought one of the things we talked about is, you know, we're going to throw the ball short. And you catch the ball and get upfield. We're not going to dance. We're going to get upfield and get what we can because we'll take the 6-7 yard gain every single time because once you throw it to the flats, it's not like they're just going to stay back. Their corners and their outside linebackers, they came flying up to try and make plays. But we're already 5 yards downfield. Get 5 yards, and who knows, you might break a tackle, and you might go for 15, 20 yards. And that's kind of what happened is they did a great job of catching the ball, tucking it away, and then getting upfield as quickly as they could. And I thought those guys did a really good job of executing our game plan.
Jeremy Schindler's with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football, talking a bit about the Hartley Melvin Sanborn contest. You know, everything I hear you talk about, I know that the effort is not going to be the thing that, that you guys are going to be disappointed with, or the way you guys played. It's obviously going to be the outcome. You would like a win, but it wasn't in the cards for you last night. Does that still kind of, you know, kind of just stew for you guys? It kind of, you know, sits around there, and man, it stinks we lost. We played good, but man, we wanted a win. Does that kind of fire you guys up then for this upcoming week of practice and then another contest?
Yeah, I mean, we're not here for moral victories. We're here to win football games, and that's what our guys are, they're all about, and you know, they understand. I think playing last night, I think it did give them a little confidence to be like, hey, we can play with a team, a quality football team like HMS. Did we play with them for the whole game? Yeah, there were momentary lapses where we did. And I think that'll give them confidence going into whoever you see, but they're not satisfied by any means. You know, you saw there was no hanging of heads last night when we walked off the field. It was, all right, we know what we need to get better at. Let's get back to work tomorrow. Let's watch film. Let's learn from our mistakes. And then let's get ready to go and play a Lawton Bronson team who's 2-0. You know, and let's get fired up for that one. And because they're a good football team, we're going to have to make sure that we come in and execute and just do our job each and every play next week.
Yeah, I guess what's the – I know early on it's you're still coming off of last night's game, but what's kind of early on the focus for you guys when it comes to matching up with Lawton Bronson on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, they're a spread offensive kind of team, so they got a couple talented wide receivers. They got a decent quarterback and running back, and so they're going to try and spread the ball around offensively. And then defensively, you know, they got a little more size than they did in years past, and they're running a little bit different scheme. At least they did week one. Haven't really seen their week two game, but I know they put up a ton of points last night against, I think it was Missouri Valley. So, you know, they came into last year's contest 2-0, and we were 0-2, and we were able to get the W down at their place. I know their coach, and I know he's going to remind his team of that, so they are definitely not going to overlook us, and we got to make sure we got to make sure we're focused and have a great week of practice, because they're a better football team than they were last year. But you know, we just have to have a great week of practice, focus on ourselves and how we can get better, and then just go out there and take care of business on Friday night.
We're looking forward to that one, Coach. We're going to get to the chance to call that one. We're going to get the chance to call both of you and Lamar's next week. So that's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll chat this week with you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler joining us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic Football on the KLEM Coach's Corner. We'll be back to wrap up the Coach's Corner after this break here on KLEM Radio.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic, Lamar's. Dr. Jared was born and raised in Lamar's, and along with his wife, Sarah, they look forward to raising their family and serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. True Health Chiropractic, offering adult chiropractic along with care for babies and children, fertility and pregnancy, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Call 712-305-0154. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic, Dr. Jared Langle. And like True Health Chiropractic on Facebook.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to the last segment of this KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Coach's Corner every Saturday morning brought to you by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, as well as Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Brandon 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Again, my thanks to both coaches for joining us this Saturday morning. There's a lot of things they could be doing better than talking to me on a Saturday morning, and we do appreciate both Coach Schindler and Coach Vigdahl for joining us this morning on another edition of the Coach's Corner that will run all throughout the football season, and then we'll pick it up throughout the basketball season as well. Do want to make you aware of our upcoming broadcast schedule. I mentioned it a little bit there to Coach Schindler. We're going to get the chance to call two football games this week. An awesome kind of an opportunity that doesn't come along very often. As Coach Gabe Davis was talking about a little bit during the broadcast last night, it's going to be a short week for the Bulldogs. They are going to be at East High on a Thursday night. Of course, all the Sioux City public schools, they share out with Olsen Stadium, meaning every now and then you're going to get two teams at home on the same week. Therefore, you get a Thursday night contest, and the Bulldogs have drawn that Thursday game with East High. We'll have a pregame coverage starting at 6:30 Thursday night. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. So again, pregame is at 6:30 Thursday night. The Radio Iowa Scouting Report airs Friday nights, so we won't have that in our pregame show. But again, we'll take over at about 6:30 Thursday night. And then Friday night, we'll get a chance to broadcast from Jim Lorenzen Field and here in Lamar's Wells Community Stadium. Great opportunity. Galen Catholic hosting Lawton Bronson. Boy, the Eagles were ranked in the top 10 last year when the Jays came to Lawton, and Dylan Lehman had that big game. He had four rushing touchdowns, 200 rushing yards. It's an outstanding contest last year. We're looking forward to another outstanding contest this year, and we'll have the coverage of that one right here on KLEM Radio. Again, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff. That time will start at 6:15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report on Friday night. So look forward to that as far as football is concerned. But before that, we're going to have some volleyball for you on our airwaves coming up Tuesday night. This could already be for the War Eagle Conference title, depending on, you know, how Hinton does the rest of the way. Of course, Hinton, Galen, and Unity Christian are kind of the favorites in the War Eagle Conference right now. So it's obviously going to be a three-way race later on. But an early match to kind of decide that. Galen Catholic ranked number 6 in Class 1A. Unity Christian ranked in the top 10 in Class 3A. We'll have the coverage for you Tuesday night at 7 o'clock right here on KLEM Radio. About 15 minutes beforehand, we'll get a pregame. And, of course, that time's approximate. They got freshman JV games ahead of times that can throw off the schedule just a little bit of the volleyball contest. But we'll bring it to you right here on KLEM. We're glad to bring some volleyball on our airwaves here each week. Yeah, we'll have a volleyball game each week now throughout the rest of the regular season. So look forward to that here on KLEM Radio. And then if you missed this edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, we archive every Coach's Corner on our website, KLEM1410.com. Hover under the Sports tab, and in the drop-down menu, click on the Sports Podcast button. That will get you to our Coach's Corner programs. And if you miss our sports casts each and every day, you can check those out on that page as well. It's a great opportunity to get caught up just briefly on the sports news and notes that you may have missed from earlier in the day. And today's sports cast is a good one. Of course, we had the breakdown of last night's contest, Lars and Galen, but we were also able to get some sound and some interviews from Coach Kadrian Harderson of Hinton and MMCRU Coach Kyle Oswald on that outstanding overtime contest in Hinton last night. Going to want to check that out. We've got that in our sports cast. Again, it'll air at 12:45, but we have it up on our website already for you if you want to listen right now at KLEM1410.com. Don't forget, if you're a Lamar's Bulldog fan, we're going to have the archive replay of the broadcast from last night between Lars and Bishop Helam. We're going to have that playing for you on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. We'll have all our pregame shenanigans starting at 11:30, and then kickoff will be at around noon on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel as we re-enjoy that 28-0 victory for the Bulldogs over Bishop Helam. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to both of our coaches for making it work this morning. For all of us at KLEM Radio for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Verstag. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio.